You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network.
I had a series of visions when I was young.
And now for the podcast.
And after each one ended, the same thought would be stuck in my head.
What did you see?
I saw a nun. Word of my visions reached the church, and I was asked to accompany a priest to an abbey in Romania.
The abbey has a long history.
Valak.
Not all good.
What?
Finish him down. Callahan's here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Aaron Dunn.
Hi.
And also joining us is Alex Spearman.
Hello.
And we are talking about The Nun, the movie where there's demonic Catholic nuns, and it's somehow scary and not funny or hilarious.
It is scary. It also has some humor, so that's fun.
Yeah. So starting with you, Aaron, what did you think of The Nun?
I really enjoy it. The more I've thought about it, too, I really appreciate just the universe that they're setting up with the Conjuring series. I think that out of the movies that they've done with the series, I think that this one's not the best, but not the worst. So I was really happy they made it. I'm really happy we went and saw it. What do you think, Alex?
I think it definitely, I agree with Aaron. It definitely fell somewhere in the middle as far as the recent movies that have been coming out of that universe. I really like the setting of the movie. I particularly like castles, though, so that's just kind of a personal thing for me. I think an old Romanian castle makes a good setting for a horror movie.
Yes.
But in general, I thought it was okay. It was pretty scary.
For me, I thought it was also just okay, fine. Not the worst in the series, but then again, I have not seen Annabelle still. I don't know why. I just haven't seen it. But I've
get
seen
on that, KO.
I know. I will. Whenever Annabelle 3 comes out, I'll do my best, my due diligence to watch it. So, but yes. So I thought it was really good, and I, you know, like you, Aaron, I appreciate that. You know, now that we have all these superhero multiverses, comic book universes, cinematic universes, whatever you want to call it, we now have like a horror cinematic universe in the Conjuring series, and also I appreciate that each one is visually distinct. The Conjuring movies do look the same, but that's primarily because it's, you know, the same director, but Annabelle Creation and The Nun to me have two very visually distinct films.
Yes, they do look different. They feel like different movies to me, which I think is kind of hard, especially when you're doing something where you're making kind of a bunch of haunted, demonic possession kind of movies. But I feel like each of them kind of have their own notes that sing, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so I enjoy it. I'm really glad that the Conjuring movies are paving a way for something like this. I would really like to see more of this, where you can branch off and kind of have your own character that's got their own movie and still have main characters in a main universe that it's coming back to.
Yeah, I agree. I think it also helps that, you know, I think it also helps that each of the Conjuring movies creates different creatures or different, like, demons to spin off of. I mean, the first one we had Annabelle, and she spun off to make her own movie a year or two later, and then the second one we had the Crooked Man, and then we had Old Dan, and then we had the Nun.
Yes, yeah, And I do. I really enjoy that it's like they almost give you a little bit of a preview in each of them. I mean, you know, the first Conjuring movie, we both watched that one recently, like rewatched it. And I thought it was cool that it was like they have a lot of like nods and kind of winks to like, hey, we're setting up like an Annabelle character. And, you know, this is obviously somebody who deserves their own movie to tell their own story. And I felt like they did a great job fleshing out the character, and maybe not so much Annabelle, but Annabelle Creation, they did a really good job with fleshing out the character and showing kind of where she came from and what her whole deal was. And they did a good job of creating their own characters and having something different than just a regular, haunted family kind of storyline.
Agreed. I think also it helps that each one is just very, it's their own separate story. Like you can really, like you don't have to watch the other films to figure, you know, to be like, oh, okay, so this is where this person, this is where this all connects. It's not, you know, you don't have to watch, you don't have to watch Thor in order to watch the Avengers, or you don't have to, well, I mean, you have to with that, but I mean, you have, but you don't have to watch Annabelle to understand The Conjuring or Conjuring 2.
Like, right. And I mean, really, honestly, The Nun was its own, its full own storyline up until I would say, what, the last like 3 minutes of the movie, if even that.
I would say maybe like the last 2 or 3 minutes. Just literally the final scene is its own story.
Yeah, just kind of making a nod. And I always appreciate movies that go back and connect those. I think I'm a fan of James Wan, and I always appreciate seeing in like the Saw movies or the Insidious movies where he'll go back and connect the dots with previous characters and previous scenes and show you kind of where somebody was like greatly connected. You have seen that person, and maybe you heard a name and you kept thinking like, well, it sounds kind of familiar, but I don't know where it's coming from. Throughout like, you know, the second movie. And I felt like they did a good job of that, like just like the last couple of minutes. So especially people who are becoming fans of the universe can at least go back and see something like that and know that like, oh hey, this was connected to the first movie and also the second movie of the Conjuring franchise.
Right. So Alex, do you have any more thoughts or want to jump in a little bit more?
Concerning The Nun in particular, I guess getting off the topic of the broader universe, I would have liked to have known more about the father. I feel like he was a very mysterious character. They didn't really investigate his past. He was lacking a little bit of character development for me.
The main like priest?
The main priest, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
He just he felt like he was just kind of there the whole movie, and like, yeah, I mean, he did the exorcism and everything, but like, I feel like the movie was almost leading up to some revelation about him, or like you were gonna find something out, and then it just he just kind of.
I honestly felt that way about and correct me if I say this wrong, I felt that way about, is it Taima?
Tessa Farmiga, I think. Tessa Farmiga.
Yes, Tessa. Her. I'm not even going to try and say her
name. Vera Farmiga's sister.
Which I love her as an actress. I think she's fantastic. But yeah, I kept on thinking that whenever she was talking about her visions and stuff, that I really did think that they were going to bring up why something like that had happened. And I would love to see a movie where they go back to her childhood and you start seeing what she saw and perhaps why she saw things like that, if it was just a gift from God or if her parents were involved in something different.
I don't know if that deserves its own movie though.
No.
I don't know if it does either, but I thought it was I would eventually connect. I thought that because each movie does connect to the next one.
Right.
But I really thought, you know, I thought she was going to be the link from The Nun to The Conjuring, because, you know, she has the same visions like Lorraine Warren has, and she has, she has the same psychic ability. And on top of that, like, she's played by you know, Vera Farmiga's sister. So they kind of do look the same. So I was thinking maybe at the end of the movie, she would turn, you know, maybe she would, you know, maybe decide, no, I'm going to have children and then become a Catholic family and then raise Lorraine. But I thought that might have been the twist. But no, that didn't happen. Mild spoiler. That didn't happen.
In general speaking, like, it kind of lacked to me just that, it felt like it didn't really get there to me at the very end of it. That's just a few critiques I have of it. Like, it felt like it was building up to something more than what it ended up being.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I almost felt like, that the ending was going to be something more, and, huge spoiler alert here. Give you guys a couple seconds. Huge spoiler alert. Like, she just kind of spits blood in the nun's face and then everything goes away and it's kind of just like fine. And then So I don't know. Good. It was kind of bizarre how they did that. I almost didn't understand either. It was like she defeated evil, but then they also infected Frenchie / Maurice at the end. So I was like, so you defeated her, but she won? Like, I think
this is the part of the movie where it's a little just bit like a little bit, you know, stretching it too almost too far, because but then again, we never really saw the symbol of the movie is if you have like the snake, if the snake somehow gets in your mouth or whatever, like that means you're going to be infected with Valak's soul. And we never saw that, but then again, we don't quite see anything else that happens in the movie.
Right.
Or we don't really see more of that scene. So it could have been implied. It could have, I mean, it kind of works, but
because. Yeah, I guess, like I said, for me, I was like, you know, I enjoyed it. I feel like there was some lingering plot holes. Something me and Alex actually talked about later. After we got done with the movie and we were driving back, as I was talking to him, I said, you know, I'm kind of surprised that the Warrens performed that exorcist on him a few years later, and that his good old priest friend that was doing exorcisms and his nun friend that dealt with all that in the past didn't even show up.
Yeah, I wonder how much they knew.
Yeah, I was they like, did they just totally lose contact with that guy?
It's like they just wanted to put that in there, like, as a...
Yeah, we talked about that. We were like, it's very bizarre that his friends that were actual experts with this specific demon would not show up again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of them has visions about said demon, but yeah, I don't know. I digress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in the logic of the characters, I mean, it makes sense that her and Frenchie never speak again because she's a nun. She's, you know, sworn to, you know, she swore an oath, so she went her own path.
And guys and girls can't be friends.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
that is a good point, especially in the time period. You have to think about the time period the movie takes place.
Right.
I don't know. I guess, like I said, I was surprised. I was surprised by that at the end, but I don't know. I think overall it was still a fun movie. There was a lot of. Definitely like real creepy scenes. I felt like I felt like the only thing like I have like a complaint about was I think I expected when they got into like the kind of like final boss stage, if that makes sense, I thought it was gonna be scarier. I don't know if you guys felt that way. Yeah.
Alex, do you have a thought on
it's almost like
you just like
I really can't think of anything to add, to be honest.
Well, to Aaron's point, I mean, when you've had so many boss endings, like the first two Conjuring movies, the first two Conjuring movies, I mean, their climaxes are literally like being on a roller coaster. Like, it is intense. there's, you yes. know, there is going on. I mean, all hell is breaking loose.
Yes.
I mean, Conjuring 2 ends with like a side of a house, like falling down and lightning striking a tree. So the burning tree will make a pointy tip. Yes. So if someone fell on it, they would die. So.
Yes, I think that was what was lacking, because like I think about, I mean, like in the Conjuring universe, I feel like the Conjuring 1, the Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creations are like your top three best in the genre. And I mean, the Conjuring, like the first Conjuring movie, I mean, the last, I would say, 20 minutes of the movie are intense. I mean, like you were just like holding on, kind of trying to wait and see what happens. And this one just kind of felt like, once again, it was still like scary, scary happens. And then you kind of walk to another room, and then a little bit of scary, scary happens. And then you walk to another room. I think something I didn't love was, I enjoy like a little bit of comedy in movies. But when scenes are supposed to be scary, I don't necessarily want somebody like hamming it up. And I felt like that was what Frenchie did for a lot of the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Frenchie basically turns into Brandon Fraser from The Mummy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a good comparison.
Very good point. Yeah.
I mean, even like down to like, he had the proper shotgun and torch that looks just like in the wardrobe. Like, if you've noticed, yes. his whole attire is basically Brendan Fraser from The Mummy.
He had the proper role in the movie.
Yes.
Showed up.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
For sure. That was something that was very different from some of the other Conjuring movies. It did feel definitely like kind of like The Mummy, where it's like, oh, we're just going to shoot the demons now and they'll just go away.
We're going to shoot it.
And I was like, that's not something that's happened in any of our other Conjuring like franchise type movies. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. These entities never really have appeared as anything like physical.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is I always figure most of the time that these ghosts or demons are not necessarily in a physical form. And I don't know, I guess too, it was kind of one of those things. I feel like most of the time demons and ghosts can potentially possess you, but like them burying you alive, I was like, okay, sure. You know.
That being said, I mean, I feel like we're beating on it too much. It had some good stuff in it.
Yes, yeah, it was still a fun movie. I definitely, thinking back on it more, I definitely do agree with Kale that it does feel like a haunted house at points. Walking through and something jumps out and scares you, and then you kind of like go back to everything being normal again.
And the castle setting definitely kind of amplifies that.
I was actually watching something recently on the setting. I didn't know this, but they weren't allowed to use any of the churches in Romania. That's illegal in Romania to film in their churches. So they ended up building a lot of like their sets and stuff. And like they were able to use a couple of like older castles that were broken down, but most of their sets are just built. Like they're not quite as historical as you'd think.
All right, we're gonna take a little break and go to Patrick Campbell for more on The Nun. And welcome back to the Youth Crew. I'm here with Patrick Campbell, and we're here to talk about The Nun. We're not talking about The Predator at all. We're here to talk about The Nun.
I could talk about The Predator if you really wanted me to, but don't waste your time going to see it because it's a big pile of dog shit. So I'd much rather talk about The Nun. Hi, guys from Los Angeles here, where it's always sunny during the day. The air isn't breathable, but we're still happy to be here.
And you're always on flame, in flame, right?
Yeah, I mean... And right now, I mean, I'm just in L.A. traffic like I seem to always be when I'm graced to be on this podcast, which I'm always thankful to be. But I'm driving home in L.A. traffic like another day, and the sky is brown, full of smog, and I can barely breathe, but California.
And I'm here in country Georgia where the internet is slow.
Yeah, sounds about right. What are we gonna do?
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Anyway, so we both saw The Nun, directed by Corin Hamilly, the Crow director, or one of the many directors that were gonna direct the Crow remake. Patrick, go ahead and talk about The Nun, because I'm sure I probably already talked about it a bunch already.
So, for those who don't know, The Nun is, of course, the fifth film in the Conjuring franchise and the third spinoff of the main film lines in the series, proving once again that WB has figured out how to do the cinematic universe thing outside of the DC universe. I don't understand it, but here we are. So, The Nun takes place in 1952 in a Roman convent out in Romania, and this nun has killed herself, and a priest and a nun are sent to go and explore it. The nun, of course, was being terrified, as was the convent, by a demon called Valak, who was introduced in The Conjuring 2. And Valak is there terrorizing the nuns and trying to take a full form of itself so that it as a demonic presence, can walk on Earth, essentially. And that's why it wants a human host. And in the grand scheme of the Conjuring films, this is the first film in the series, timeline-wise. And Corin Hardy has this task to bring us a 90-minute film that is spooky and scary and different than the other films, but definitely harkens to the Conjuring. So it's not like a very easy balancing act. And he was clearly chosen by James Wan for a reason, because their whole idea was they wanted to do something very different with the film, which is fairly apparent once you see it. The Conjuring films, including the Annabelle films, have very much been about building to scares, long stretches of the build. A lot of people call them jump scares. I think that we overuse that term and now have lost its meaning. But The Conjuring is really about the atmosphere and the horror and the characters. And the one thing that's very apparent in The Nun is that they were trying to go a very different direction and really tried to make a Hammer horror film, which is a much different type of film and one that's definitely not for a mass audience, which is, I guess, why I can see why people aren't enjoying it as much. However, I love Hammer horror films. So this movie was right up my alley. It definitely leaned on the camp nature of the Hammer horror films, but had like that sick, twisted bite to it that's a lot of fun. And the other thing that I think that is very interesting and kind of another reason that I think audiences, and I can see why they're frustrated, this movie is called The Nun, but it's a lot less about Valak and a lot more about Tessa Farmiga, who is the nun who has come from England to study or to figure out what's going on inside this convent. And all things being equal, it is at times very loud for the sake of being loud. It does lean on the jump scares, but at the same time, for me, this movie is very atmospheric. I very much like the main trio of characters, and I really enjoyed my time being back in the universe, exploring the backstory of Valak without ever fully going into details about it. To me, it hit the right tone of what a prequel should be without overly explaining what you're looking into. There's some really great creepy imagery that made me realize that Corin Hardy was definitely someone I would have been interested in seeing the Crow remake done by. I'm a little bummed out now seeing this movie that he's not doing it, but this is not a movie for everyone. It's not, and I will fully admit that out the gate, and it's not even close to the best film in this franchise. I mean, it's better than the original Annabelle, but it's easily the fourth weakest in the series. That being said, I had a tremendous time watching it. And that, again, is attributed to, I thought Hardy brought a lot of creepy atmosphere and a lot of just really cool nods to that gothic horror that we don't see a lot of. And it kind of reminded me of, like, the old Dark Shadows TV show, that because that was a very gothic, very kind of Hammer horror-esque. It's kind of cheap, definitely shot in real places, though. And I really like that. I really dug that vibe. It's not a movie. I'm kind of surprised that WB actually was ballsy enough to do it, but I guess James Wan can do whatever he wants at this point. And I'm glad for it because he made a very different film than we're used to in this franchise with Corin Hardy, and I'm glad he did.
Well, and we also have to keep in mind these Conjuring movies or Conjuring spinoffs don't really cost that much to make. Like this one, out of the spinoffs was the most expensive, but this cost only $22 million to make.
Yeah, and it made over $130 million. So it's already made well over what it was worth to make. Once again, showing why this franchise is so successful.
Yeah, to me, the reason why it's so successful so far is because the Conjuring movies serve as a really good base in that they do set up the other kind of spinoffs, but they serve as a good base because we like the Warrens. We like, the two families that we've seen so far in the two Conjuring movies. So with that being like the base and the glue, the sauce that holds everything, the Conjuring movies that, come out of this, spurs out a couple of really good, solid, nice, like, fill-up movies, but before we get to, the It's or the, or for this Halloween, like, it's really just nice little, like, pick-me-ups till we get to the scary movies in October.
Totally, and that's what has been so great about the franchise. One, that it kind of became a summer horror franchise, which has been kind of neat. But on top of that, I mean, like you said, they're really great ways to kind of start the fall season, if you will. And because none of these movies are like outright atrocious, really the only one that's really bad is the first Annabelle. They always put you in the mood for exactly the kind of horror movies that we're always looking forward to. And that's really fun for me.
And I think, honestly, I think it helped that we got like directors like David S. Sandberg and Corin Hardy, because the biggest thing I took away from The Nun and Annabelle Creation was the direction of each one. The first one, it very much felt like, even though Annabelle Creation doesn't take place in the 70s, it still kind of has that 70s-ish horror vibe to it. And then this one feels, it's a crossbreed of, Hammer horror films, and then also I would also argue it's a little bit of Argento in there, Giallo horror, Giallo spiritual horror films.
Sure, absolutely.
Because there's a lot of,
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, and that's why when you see the scene where all the nuns are praying as Valak is attacking the convent, and to me, Tessa Farmiga's, a dress, blouse. I'm not really sure what to call it, but what the nuns wear. The back rips open, and you see Valak actually putting the pentagram on her back, like very twisted, creepy, religious horror type base. And that's what I think I like of so much about The Nun, is The Nun very much goes for flipping what we think of religious things on its head and turning them into evil things. And I think I like that because I grew up in a very religious household, and as someone who's sort of rebelled against that in my later years, and not necessarily rebelled, but has found his own path and own understanding of things and the way I see things, there's something to be said about we all see nuns as like godly, pure type people, and to turn that into an evil monster. And the idea of the cross, flipping it upside down, because that's something straight out of the Bible. And that was always for people who were like killers and murderers and, sadists and shit like that. So that's very interesting to me. And you have that mixed with just pure terror of what it means to be in like a church or a convent where it's supposed to be a godly place being turned upside down by a demon that's been around since the Dark Ages. And I love that. It just oozes something cool to me.
Yeah, and also the, you know, everything was nice until the war is kind of open up the hatch that gonna let, you know, Sprawl free again. Yeah, I genuinely like the backstory, and I love that this is very much a haunted house story or a ghost story. These, you know, three people, Frenchie, Damien Bouchard's character, and Tessa Farmiga's character, they're both basically just a part of a haunted house. And they're just there, you know, basically visiting, you know, this haunted house and exploring all the stories and all the things that have happened to it. And it's a really nice, really interesting twist. And visually, it's all very well done. You know, all the scares themselves. Like, and yes, there are jump scares. I mean, this is a horror movie that takes place in this. There's going to be jump scares. But the movie still, like, I still think it works as a nice, like, you know, pick me up till we get to, you know, David Gordon Green's Halloween, or, you know, Suspiria, or, you know, if you're really terrified of or you're really looking bad, or you're terrified of bad comic book movie, you know, a scary movie for you.
Scary movie for you guys. They called The Predator. It's a fucking horror movie.
It's only a horror movie if you are afraid of bad movies.
Well,
apparently.
And here's one thing I will say: the Nun does miss some beats that I wish that it had done. The very first time that you meet Frenchie, I think he's very interesting. He's very fun. And then he leaves the convent at one point and he goes back to the town and he goes to this bar and they set up that all the mirrors are hidden and they don't really do, because they're like, you know, we don't want the spirits of the dead to get stuck here or whatever. And they don't, like, there's definitely a scare with the nun in a mirror, but they don't really do anything else with that. Like, it seems like a setup for something that doesn't happen. Just a few things like that. I thought Damien Bouchard was great in this movie, by the way. I think he deserves a lot of love for what he really brings an air of class, is the best way, I guess, to describe it, to the proceedings of a Hammer horror film. And again, Tessa Farmiga is fantastic in this. And I really do like the way that this ties into the original Conjuring. It never seems like it overplays its hand. And it feels natural, if you will.
Yeah. I think so. And also, it helps that Tessa Farmiga is a really good actress. And yep. She's with this part that normally would be like, you know, hey, you're just you kind of, and also, you know, it's very much a red herring, you know. The twist of the movie would be that, you know, she's related to the Warren somehow, or she's related to Miss Warren, or yeah. She's related to that character somehow because she has all the visions. She's played by the actor's sister. You know, she kind of even looks a little bit like Vera Farmiga in certain shots.
Yeah.
So it's very that the twist is what it is.
And I'm glad that, again, the one easy twist would be that the nun becomes the nun. And I'm really glad that they shy away from that. I think that because you end up latching on to Frenchie, so, well, we're talking about spoilers, right? I'm cool with spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Apologies. I didn't realize, but I mean, I kind of already said it, but the twist that Frenchie's actually the one who ends up possessed at the end and is actually the first person that you see doing an getting an exorcism by Lorraine in the original, in the footage when they're in the college classroom, I thought that was great. And again, it never feels like it overplays its hand. It's a really nice way of setting it up. Of course, the guy doesn't look a whole lot like the original actor, but I can get past that. Because I think it works. I think that's really cool. And it also sets them on the path of what Valak is doing for The Conjuring 2. And you have to give them credit, man. Valak was never even in the original Conjuring 2. Valak was added all in reshoots. And yet, not only is Valak a pretty cool character in The Conjuring 2, they made a fucking movie out of Valak, and it worked. And that's what surprises me so much. It works, at least to me. I mean, again, I know that there's a lot of people who feel very differently about this, but to me, this movie works.
Yeah, this movie would be The Crooked Man.
Well, and we're still supposed to get a Crooked Man movie, too, so we'll see what happens.
But generally, I think this is kind of just a general issue of the Conjuring franchise is, and this is not really partake to the first two Conjuring movies, it's more that the spinoffs kind of operate more in the sense that, and I mean that, you know, they are Phillip movies till the Halloween, but because they're Phillip movies, because they're kind of more substance other than just being, you know, they just are haunted house movies. You go to your, it's like going to a haunted house. Basically the allegory I'm going to go with is, it's like going to your local haunted house. You lunch for a little game and then you walk out and you're like, yeah, that was a good time. That's really what these movies are. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, in the grand scheme of things, and we were kind of talking about this last week when we did the roundup with Hereditary, is that if you a big horror movie, I kind of expect a roller coaster.
Sure.
I kind of like guns a-blazing, something to just, you know, stick to my bones, just like, holy shit, that was scary. But The Nun and Annabelle Creation, I have not seen, are movies where I like them, but I like them as, but they're just more like, you know, yeah, they were fun. They were just fun for an hour and a half, and I guess I'll check when it comes out.
Well, I'll push back a little bit just on Annabelle Creation, because I think Annabelle Creation is, like, legitimately a really great scary film. I thought David F. Sandberg brought a lot to that movie that was a little more than just a fun haunted house movie. I mean, it's definitely a fun haunted house movie, but I think it's a little bit creepier and a little bit more fun than Annabelle and obviously and The Nun. But that being said, I can completely understand where you're coming from. And I respect that. It's just, for me, the Annabelle Creation is the closest thing that we've gotten to actually having The Conjuring again. And that's actually why I'm so excited about Annabelle 3, knowing that the Warrens are in the film and knowing that it takes place at the Warren house and knowing that Annabelle is a creepy little bastard and is basically doing a terror version of Night at the Museum with all the artifacts inside of their collection. That is terrifying, and I absolutely love it.
Five Nights at Freddy's at the Warrens' house.
Yes, essentially. And Annabelle is the leader. And
I'm kind of sold on this. And Gary Dauberman's going to direct that, right?
Yes, sir.
We'll see. Because that's the other thing, too, is I feel like Gary Dauberman, I feel like he kind of gets, you know, lucky with all these, like, scripts so far. They kind of felt like, well, they probably were Gary Dauberman's spec scripts at one point, and he wrote them to be Conjuring movies, because when you look at them, they're very much like different in each one, and then they slap on, this is sort of based on a true story. Wait, I think that's based on a true story. I think we should kind of just, like, let that one go. For me, it doesn't bother me that much that it's based on true events or whatever. But I know I know for some people, and I know for other people, it's kind of just like really, like, well, really, I mean, we're some true story.
Yeah, I mean, the first one definitely was, and the second one definitely was too. I mean, obviously the Dalek stuff probably not so much. But so all the spinoffs have moved away from the true story aspect. But for the most part, those Conjuring films are based on the real case files, which I really enjoy. I always think that's kind of cool. I mean, they clearly take liberties with the second one compared to the first. But at the same time, the second one does lean in on the idea that this case was debunked by a lot of people as the little girls faking it and stuff like that. So I thought that that one actually dealt with that Edenfeld case pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah. I just know that it's kind of just like, it's kind of, we're getting to the point now where we've hung and cheated and we've taken so many liberties with these true stories that I know it's just becoming jarring. It's got to be jarring to most people at this point.
You can say what you want about Based on True Stories movies, but you will never change how I feel about Remember the Titans, sir.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I'm not trying to say these movies are bad. I'm trying to say, you know, hey, we know this was actually written by, we know this was written by somebody and directed by someone, and knowing how movies are made, we know that, you know, not every single line was exactly the way they said it back.
Look,
we are
going to blitz all night, and we will make sure they remember the night they played the Titans. That's all I'm saying. Because that movie takes all the liberties with that story, but my God, do I love it.
It's a really good story, and it got played in my high school a bunch of times.
Wow. Okay, then. It's just a good story, then. Wow.
No reason. Yeah.
I'm gonna remember that,
Cam. I don't know why. Remember the Titans? Yeah, I remember it.
This man over here.
It's Denzel Washington. Yeah. All right. So with that, I mean, do we have? So, what more can we say on the Nun? Because I kind of just alluded to the fact that, you know, it's a good. The Nun is specifically a haunted house in a metaphoric sense.
I mean,
I
just hope people go see it. I mean, obviously people went to go see it. It made the most money this year. But I just hope that people will go and with an open mind. Again, I've said multiple times, I understand why people don't like it, but I really want people to give it a chance. Yes, it's a Hammer horror film. Yes, it like super lays on the Hammer horror feel of like that cheesy aspect of it. And it's kind of kitschy, but it's got a good bite. I like the characters a lot. I like the way it ties into this universe. It's very much worth watching. If you get a chance, go see it, give it a chance, and know what it is. Know that it leans on like a very camp sort of factor because it was made to be that way, and that's what makes it so much fun.
All right. It's hard to add more to that or disagree because it's a fun movie, and it's even more fun if you can see it in a loud theater, because I saw this at the Regal Avalon in Alpharetta, and great sound, great picture. That's all I could ask, is that, you know, it. But yeah, I am mildly just recommending it because it's just a fun little movie. And who knows? I have not seen The Predator. Maybe I'll be the one giving it an A, and Patrick will be the one giving it an F. Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows? I could be coming out of.
I'm going to give it like a D, not like a full F, but it's real close.
Okay. I will give it. Yeah, who knows? Come back next week. Patrick could hate it, and I could just, like, fall in love with it. But yeah, I wish September was actually pretty much better, because, I mean, we just don't have anything till October after the Predator.
Well, I know. And that's the worst part, is waiting for Halloween at this point. But those reviews out of TIFF definitely got me excited.
I know. That was the most surprising thing, was the Predator was not doing so good. But, hey, the Halloween, that's, you know, going to be great. When I mean October, I mean October we got A Star Is Born, First Man, Halloween, a bunch of good stuff. It's just, you know, now looking at October and November just all being like crowded back, just stacked, it's like, man, September is just gonna be, man, those studio executives, they really underestimated the Predator. They really underestimated overestimated, you know, how successful The Nun and the Predator would be, because, man, it's going to be a long 2 or 3 weeks before we get Venom and A Star Is Born.
All I know is that I expect Predator to make good money its first weekend and drop like a fucking rock the second. And that's me being...
Oh, no.
And again, I hope everyone actually goes and sees it. And if you enjoy it, great, grand, wonderful. I really hope you do. For me, this was absolutely the wrong step this franchise needed to take. And as far as the Predator solo films go, this is easily the worst of the bunch. Like, by a pretty wide margin. And I'm a huge fan of the franchise. I'm a huge fan of Shane Black. And boy, they dropped the ball hard. I think that this could be Alien Covenant for the franchise.
Hey, you liked Alien Covenant.
And I liked Alien Covenant, but a lot of people didn't. So, I mean, hey, maybe that bodes well for the people who did like Alien Covenant. Maybe they'll like The Predator, but boy, is it. It's a movie. It's a whole lot of things, but good ain't one of them.
All right. Where can people find you? We'll reserve that. We'll table this Predator week.
Yeah. If you guys haven't already, you can find me on Twitter at PJ_Campbell or at Facebook at Patrick Campbell, parentheses PJ. Obviously on Twitter, especially as of late, we're talking a lot about what's going on with WB and DC. And I'm really opening the conversation to the fans, because at this point we need to have an open door conversation about the stuff that's going on, and the stuff with Henry Cavill is really unfortunate. So we'll see what happens. Of course, if you guys aren't already, please head over to Collider.com, where you can watch The Schmodown on their YouTube channel. The Schmodown is a thing that I get to help with every once in a while. It holds a very special place in my heart, and I love those people more than anything. So if you have not already, head to Collider on YouTube, subscribe to Collider, watch The Schmodown. It would make my heart melt if you guys did. Don't make me sob. Thank you.
All right. I'll put links in the description below for those. And thanks, Pat, next week for The Predator. And we'll be back with the show in just a little bit, folks.
You're listening to the Youth Crit
Podcast.
Some of the good things in the movie.
I gotta think long and hard on this. That's some good horror sequences. I feel like that's something James Wan always does a good job of.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sequencing and just like...
I know he produced this movie. I don't believe he actually directed this one.
He did not.
Well, yeah.
It's part of his extended horror universe. He's done a lot of the movies for, but I guess he didn't do this one in particular. And I guess maybe that is might be where it kind of lacked. Or
yeah, I feel like definitely being a fan of James Wan from where he started to where he's at now, he's progressed a lot, and I feel like he understands like what works and what doesn't in horror. You can look at like some of his first stuff, like Dead Silence, too. I mean, where he was at with like The Conjuring 2, and see how much things have progressed. That I understand stuff needs more than just like a twist ending at this point, and scary scenes are more than just a lot of anticipation that like you've got to have the follow through at the end.
I did think in The Nun there was some good plot misdirection.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times where I was surprised.
Yeah.
On what happened. There were some good twists in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spoil everything, but.
Yeah, well, we're this is a show that's like you watch it after you watch the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then I'm going to spoil everything. One of the twists I particularly like, spoiler alert, huge spoiler alert, there are no nuns ever in the convent.
Yeah.
We're led to believe throughout the entire movie. That was an impressive one to me, that they're, that this place still houses at least probably 10 nuns, like I would say. And by the end of the movie, you realize that there was never a nun in the house. It was only the three main characters and the demons.
So. Yeah, yeah, it was. I questioned if there were even any nuns there when they first talked to. I think, do they just call her the mother of the nuns? I cannot remember 100%.
The house mother.
Yeah, basically.
She,
like,
she sounded really evil from the get go.
She sounded evil. She looked evil. I was like,
that one was just too shocking to believe that she wasn't real.
If it looks and sounds like a rat, it probably is.
Yeah, yeah, she's definitely a narc.
But, I was kind of surprised that the father and the other nun just kind of went along with. They were like, guess that this is just a nun here.
Maybe there's like a, that might be a Catholic thing that mothers are notoriously mean and
evil looking.
if that is a thing, I've never heard of it.
Right, absolutely.
Very Emperor Palpatine-esque.
Yeah, I definitely believe though. They have like a pretty long sequence of the other nun that's like ready to take her vows. She hangs out with some of the other nuns and she's like praying and everything, and they don't tell her at all that like they're dead, like, and it's, I'm guessing it's their ghost, because yeah. I don't know what the demon would.
Honestly, that would be almost a complaint I had with it, in a sense that she could talk and like relate to the ghost, and the ghost saw her and they knew she was there, and yet the ghost could not tell her though that they were dead, and like, hey, you should watch out.
Right.
It's like, I guess in a way, by what they were saying, they were trying to warn her and giving her direction in a sense. But at the same time, it's like, they couldn't give her a heads up, though, that like, hey, we're actually dead. Like,
yeah, yeah. I don't know the rules of the undead. Maybe that's the rule.
Well, I can kind of explain one thing. They probably don't really realize they're dead until they... or it could have been like Bruce Willis saying they didn't say we're dead, or it was a premonition. To, right. You know, to see what was, so it probably wasn't the souls of these nuns, but it was probably a mission of like how these nuns, you know, held off for so long.
Like an echo in a cave kind of thing.
I could see that. But yeah. I just seem to remember her having conversations with individual nuns at some points.
Yeah, yeah. There was definitely conversations. I mean, and there was one nun that the girl was like, they don't want me to talk to you. And I was like, you're a ghost. You know.
Well, she's probably referring to the bad nuns, or the nuns that are devout.
Perhaps.
Devout is probably controlling all of them.
Yeah, very true, very true.
I guess they kind of hinted at it at the beginning when they said, because I guess they started off the movie with the nun hanging herself. I guess they're getting possessed and hanging herself, but and then they said that she was the most devout of them.
Yeah.
And so I guess that would make sense that she would hold out the longest if she was the most devout of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So maybe they threw some hints. But...
Yeah, we were talking about earlier about how the mother nun just seemed like such an evil looming presence, and they just kind of took it at what the demon said. The demon was like, yeah, I'm the mother nun here, and you guys can stay here at this really scary castle. And
kind of really letting her run the show.
Yeah.
Well, totally, it's right.
Sure.
Well, it's very Suspiria-like or Dario Argento-like, where, you know, all of like the witches in those movies are very much like, they all sound like old, and they sound very old and witch-like, and even those, that voice is very similar to what we hear in from evil witches from Disney movies. So
right.
Disney movies and Hammer films, So it's an homage to, and that's what really the whole movie also is. It's also a homage to, you know, those other films. So right. Other scary movies with, you know, with witches and whatnot in the title. It just so happens that, you know, the witches in this movie are the nuns. So, but yeah, it's a, so yeah, it's all well and done, and it's all like, it all works very well indeed. But yeah, I kind of felt like this was just a procedural movie because I still, I didn't quite get like the full arcs of the characters. I mean, David Bashar's basic, his thing is, you know, I screwed up an exorcism with a kid, and that's why, you know, I'm sad and mysterious. That's why I'm Batman, but with a Catholic Batman.
Yeah.
And then Tessa's just like, I'm just here to learn. I'm just, I haven't taken my vows yet, but I'm just here to learn.
Right, right. I, like I said, I definitely, I don't know, there were a few things I felt like were kind of missing in the movie. I remember the nun that was going to take her vows, she kept on saying that she had visions saying, Mary points the way.
Right.
And I didn't ever really feel like they came to.
I never saw what Mary was pointing to.
Yeah.
Mary did point the way.
What's
that?
She
did point the way. She did point the way. She pointed to the way, to the blood.
Oh, is that what she pointed to?
Yeah, I think one of you might have been. I know one of you actually went out for a second during the middle of the movie. I think one of you might have missed out on that scene. Because there is a scene where
I know I went to the bathroom at one point and I was like, I'm missing 3 or 4 minutes here, but apparently I missed Mary pointing the way.
Apparently I'm really bad at picking up on details like that.
Yeah.
They said as much as that Mary is pointing the way. Because that's how they find the blood in the crucifix of, or Jesus's blood in the crucifix.
I see.
Or glass,
I see.
Crucifix. Mm-hmm. Yep.
How crazy that that thing was like pretty packed full of Jesus's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was still like in good condition.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, by the result at the end of the movie, it was the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing.
That was authentic.
Maybe she shouldn't have like put all that in her mouth. She could have just. She could have
a little bit would have worked.
Yeah, I mean, they used like one drop before. I felt like that was kind of like a fun little, almost like a MacGuffin they threw in there kind of like towards the end. Any final thoughts on the nun, Alex?
All in all, it was okay.
Yeah, I think it's a fun movie. I think it adds to the universe. I suggest. I'd say that this is more of a once it comes out on Netflix movie. You know,
absolutely, absolutely. As far as that recommendation goes, not necessarily a movie you have to go see in the theaters.
Yeah. There was something super special about this one that I think was theater worthy, but definitely. If you see it on Netflix, I think it's worth your, what was it, an hour and a half?
Absolutely, definitely yeah. Worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a bit of a soft run it on Redbox, Netflix.
Right.
That especially if you have good like, TV or home theater set up at your house, so just watch it there. It costs a lot of money to go to the movies, and I mean, it will be a thing to, you know, go see in September and October. So that's my take on it.
Very good point.
Very thanks. So with that, Aaron, do you have a Twitter?
I do not. I am just not a Twitter person, but if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, I am at BEARIN465. You can check out all my fun makeup photos. I'm sure there'll be some new exciting ones for Halloween. I don't know if Alex has much social media going on.
I do not.
Alex is not a social media.
All right. All right. That's fine. All right. Well, you can find me, listeners, out on Twitter at MovieKale, and you can also follow the show. You can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes the podcast at KHZ Network. I am working on a piece of proof of concept film called Bear Gator. We're raising some money on GoFundMe right now. I'll put the link in the description below. Please please donate, and if you can't donate, please share the link to all your friends and family. Thank you all so much for listening, and thanks, Aaron and Alex, for being here.
No problem. Thanks, Kale.
Thanks for having us, Kale.
All right.